What? She said, without looking at me, still totally engrossed in the game. Did you have a... Oh, Cody! I'm sorry, Dexter, what did you say? I said in over-distinct syllables, did you have any plans for dinner? Yes, of course, she said, still without looking away from the TV. I just have to... Oh! She said with real alarm, and this time it was not from something in the game, but because she glanced up and saw the clock. Oh my God, it's after 8! I didn't even... Aster, set the table. Oh my God, and it's a school night! I watched with mild satisfaction as Rita leaped up off the couch at last and, thrusting Lillian at me, ran into the kitchen still talking. For the love of... Oh, I know it's burned. What was that? Cody, get the silverware out. Oh, I'd never been such a... Aster, don't forget to set a place for Uncle Brian. And then a nonstop clatter for several minutes as she opened the oven, slammed pots and pans around, and set normal life back on the tracks. Cody and Aster glanced at each other, clearly reluctant to leave their new TV world even to eat, and then, still wordless, they looked in unison at Uncle Brian. "Well, come on," he said, with his awful fake cheeriness. "You have to do what your mother says." "I want to play some more," Cody said, which was several more syllables than I'd heard him say together in a very long time. "Of course you do," Brian said, "but right now you can't." He gave them his big smile, and I could see that he was trying very hard to look sympathetic, but it was truly not all that convincing, nowhere near as good as I did it. But Cody and Aster apparently accepted it at face value. They just looked at each other, nodded, and trundled off to the kitchen to help get ready for dinner. Brian watched them go and then turned to look at me, his eyebrows raised in artificially polite anticipation. Naturally enough, he could not hope to anticipate any of the things I wanted to say to him, but as I took a deep breath to start, it occurred to me that I really couldn't either. I felt that I had to accuse him of something, but of what? Buying an expensive toy when I had bought one so much cheaper? Of taking the kids for Chinese food and probably something slightly more sinister? Of trying to be me when I was too busy to play the part? I suppose the old dead-inside Dexter would simply say, "Whatever you're doing, stop." But the new me simply could not wrap his tongue around all the many complicated things, feelings, that swirled through me. And to make matters even worse, as I sat there with my brain idling and my mouth open, Lillian made a burbling noise and my shirt was suddenly covered with a sour milk pudding of baby blarp. "Oh my," Brian said, with a sympathy that was every bit as real as all his other emotions. I got to my feet and went down the hall, holding Lillian at a kind of port-arms position. In the bedroom, there was a changing table that had a stack of towels for the purpose, stored on a shelf underneath. I grabbed two of them, one to mop up the mess, and the second to place under the baby to preserve whatever might remain of my shirt. I went back to the easy chair and sat, draping the second towel over my shoulder and arranging Lillian face down on top of it, gently patting her on the back.